This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a very brief look at Friday's headlines, and we begin where we have the last several weeks, and that's with the massive oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico from that blown-out BP rig that exploded on April 20th, killing 11 workers and injuring several others. It's been a significant week in the development of this story as the president addressed the nation, the next day setting up a fund of BP money totaling at least $20 billion to compensate those affected by the spill. And then on Thursday, of course, the dramatic testimony, or at least dramatic grilling, of BP CEO Tony Hayward before a subcommittee of the House Energy Committee. Well, the latest turn and twist in this story on Friday is that CEO Tony Hayward is now out in overseeing the day-to-day details of this response to this massive oil spill. According to BP Chairman of the Board, Carl Enriques Fonberg, who was at the White House on Wednesday and is the one who called the people along the Gulf Coast the small people, he says that Bob Dudley, managing director at BP, will now take charge of the day-to-day response activities for BP along the coast. Of course, the subplot on Thursday at those hearings were the comments by the top Republican on the House Energy Committee, Joe Barton of Texas, who said the White House was guilty of a shakedown and forcing BP to kick in $20 billion to a slush fund. The White House was outraged. So were Barton's Republican leaders on Capitol Hill. Barton later apologized in person during the same committee hearings and also in a written statement saying he regretted the use of the term shakedown and that he absolutely wanted to stress that BP was responsible for paying all the charges. But we're learning on Friday that Barton's apology did not come all that voluntarily. Apparently, Republican House leaders John Boehner and Eric Cantor were so outraged that Barton would potentially defend and even directly apologize to BP that they told Barton either had to apologize immediately before the television cameras or he would lose his job as the ranking Republican on the powerful Energy and Commerce Committee. Barton obviously complied. But was he right? Most people say no, including most Republicans in Congress, but others say absolutely that this is actually another step towards socialism. Not that BP has to pay the bill, but that the government would force a private entity to fork over at least $20 billion without going through the normal due process channels. Dr. Jerry Newcomb of Coral Ridge Ministries is among those who thinks this is a giant step towards socialism and an attack, again, on private industry from this administration. To hear my conversation with him, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. As for the president today, he was briefly in Columbus, Ohio, touting what he sees as the success of his economic stimulus plan. Flanked by the mayor of Columbus, Ohio, as well as a construction crew, the president touted a milestone in the number of construction jobs and projects created by the Stimulus Act. It's still an uphill public relations campaign for the administration on this front, since the national unemployment rate still hovers just under 10%, when the administration promised that it would get no higher than 8% if his stimulus plan were approved well over a year ago. And the strange case of Alvin Green will continue. The very unlikely Democratic Senate nominee in the state of South Carolina will stay on the ballot. Mr. Green's opponent had challenged the results, saying there's no possible way that a majority of South Carolina Democrats actually voted for Green. But the South Carolina Democratic Party says there's no reason to overturn the will of the people or call a new election. Alvin Green will be the Democratic nominee in South Carolina. Come November, he's running against incumbent Republican Jim DeMint. And finally, in a rarity, Ronnie Lee Gardner executed today in Utah by firing squad. It was Gardner's choice. He refused the chance to die by lethal injection. He was seated in a chair. A vest was put over him with a target over his heart. A hail of bullets were aimed at him just after midnight Utah time, and he died just a couple minutes later. Gardner killed one and severely injured another in a courthouse shooting back in the mid-1980s. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.